Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. Well, I guess the question, a good question is, is what about your responsibility or what about your need to pray for your pastor? Probably won't ask the question, but I suppose it would be interesting to ask the question, well, how many families pray for your pastor? You know, we recognize the need to pray for our missionaries because we know that their ministry can't go forward except by prayer. You know, sometimes we don't really understand the importance of prayer. Recently, the ministry in Page really went through some difficult times and is going through some difficult times. And I shared with Brother Kanish, I also shared with Brother Ola, one of the reasons I felt like the church really went down. And the national pastor had to be asked to leave, to resign his position, not leave. And the missionary had to take over, Brother Potter. And I said, you know, a lot of great things happened in Page. But every week, Brother Kanish would send out a munchie. And people would be praying for the church at Page. A lot of miracles took place in people's lives. But you know, when Brother Kanish, when they had took when Brother Horvath became the pastor, at that time the Kanishes took a furlough. And then on that furlough, after that furlough, they started the work in Budapest. And the munchies now are about Budapest. And probably a few hundred people who are praying for Page now start praying for Budapest. Think that had any effect? Now, I can say that from personal experience right here in McQuanago. Actually, when we came to McQuanago, of course, you know, for a year and a half, we had, it was a year and a half before we were chartered. And then on our fifth anniversary, by our fifth anniversary, we had purchased this land. We were in this building. God done some real miracles great miracles of salvation. And then I wrote to churches and individuals that were supporting us, and I said, we're 5 years old. We have our own building. Now, it's not paid off, but we have our own building. We have land. We have people. I suppose we're probably running 150, 175. And I think it's time for you to take your money and support somebody else. And almost immediately, the devil got to work. And what had happened was these people had been lifted up by the prayers of others. And they grew, they made big decisions, but they didn't realize why they were who they were. And when they had to stand on their own two feet, they couldn't do it because they didn't pray enough. They had been lifted up by the prayers of others. And sin came into the church. Big trouble. It was because they were lifted up by the prayers of others. You know, a church has to go through the stage of, you know, you're lifted up by the prayers of others. Then you got to grow and lift up yourself. You have to be able to maintain your own life all on your own without the prayers of others. And then you have to grow enough so not only do you pray for yourself, but you're praying for others and you're lifting up others. And now you're supporting missionaries on the field and they are depending and their people who can't pray for themselves, don't know how to pray for themselves, are lost, need someone to pray for them, are young in the Lord, need someone to pray for them. And there's got to be someone mature enough, grown up enough, not only to keep themselves standing, but to have maturity to be able to pray for others. You know, that's a real important part in life. And you know, a lot of young people, you don't understand it. You know, you're being lifted up by the prayers of others. You know, you got a lot of growing to do. Not only do you have to come to the place where you don't need the prayers of others, although we always do, but you need to grow up to the place where you do right all on your own. And then you are praying for others, and you can handle, and you're living on the victory side of life, not on the edge of defeat. You know, a lot of Christians are on the edge of defeat. And they're most of their energy is just praying for them to stay alive. But God's plan is for us to be on the victory side, so we not only can maintain our own life, but we can carry the job that God has called us to do. That is to send the word out and to bear up our missionaries and all those people who need the gospel. But you know, one of the vital parts of a church is your pastor. You know, do you understand that maybe you just think that, you know, let's just pray pastor has a good message on Sunday. Now, I think probably a lot of people just come to assume that that's going to happen and they don't have to pray about it. But you know what? There's another half of that, and Paul is talking about that here. He says, pray for us that for we trust we have a good conscience. Now, what happened if your pastor lost his conscience? Do you care? You oughta. Because, you know, if he loses his conscience, he's lost everything. You know, I would say that in one sense, one of the big parts of a pastor's job is to be able to stay right with God. And not only stay right with God, but to grow. Now, if your pastor doesn't grow, and your pastor isn't right with God, guess who's the loser? Who's the loser? Who loses out? The people. The people. You know, this is a great theme of the Bible. It's a great responsibility of a Christian. Turn to Ephesians 6. Here's the armor of the believer. Verse 18, the last part of the armor. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But that doesn't have a period there, does it? As a semicolon. The verse didn't stop. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here was a great truth. What was he saying? He's saying, you know, you need prayer. And in this battle, one part of that prayer is to pray, Paul says, for me. Now, of course, we have the Old Testament with the people of Israel in the battle. And Moses looked over the battle. And Joshua and Ur lifted up his arms. And when they lifted up his arms, the people of Israel prevailed. And when his arms got tired, when they lifted up his arms, they won. When his arms got tired, they began to fail. And so Joshua and Ur lifted up Moses' arms, and as they did, the people were victorious. Obviously a spiritual truth, isn't it? And, you know, I guess we could, we're just kind of trying to emphasize the point here. And I wonder, do you pray for the spiritual life of your pastor? Do you think you have a duty to pray for your pastor? Now, I suppose if people don't like the pastor and don't like what he preaches and don't want him to preach against their sin, I would suppose they probably don't pray for their pastor. I don't know why they would. Maybe they pray that, you know, he gets out of here or gets a broken leg or something. But, you know, I remember one distinct occurrence. And, of course, you remember Tom Condellin. He was quite a character. But, you know, we're having services. No, it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday service. The church was maybe a year old, 2 years old. Don't remember. Because Tom Condellin got saved 3 months after the chartering. It was probably about 4 or 5 months after the chartering of the church. And we had a particularly good Sunday. I really sense the moving of the Spirit. I particularly sense liberty of the Spirit of God. I don't know how it happened, but Tom is a young Christian. He's telling me, you know, last night we had a family prayer meeting. And he's just months old, or maybe a month old. And we all got together, and we got on our knees, and Barbara and I and all the kids, we got together, and we had a prayer meeting. And we prayed for the church. We prayed for God's power, for God's blessing. And the next day, it was obvious. Now, obviously, God answers the genuine prayers of a brand new believer who's really, you know, doing what's right. But, you know, there was the understanding by the grace of God that, hey, you know what? Let's pray. And there's a definite effect. Now we find throughout the scriptures, Paul is saying, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. And I suppose, you know, it can come to a point where sometimes we just kind of automatically think that, you know, the pastor doesn't need any prayer, you know. It's his job to pray for us. And we got our own things to pray about. Why should we pray for the pastor? Why should we pray for God's hand upon him? Couple other places in the scripture, obviously, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And you can put this in missionary context, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Brethren, very short one, isn't it? You could memorize this one for Sunday. Brethren, pray for us. Most everybody will be able to get that one. Brethren, pray for us. Romans chapter 15. And verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Well, it's a simple truth. Paul says, pray for me that I might have a good conscience. Basically saying, pray for me that I might stay right with God, that I might be able to be a man of God, pray for me that I could be right with God so I can be the leader for God that I need to be. And what was he saying? You know, spiritual leaders need your prayers. Now, I suppose this prayer request has been, this story has been kind of twisted around, but maybe not. But there is this Christian lady on an airplane. And she's on this airplane and she noticed this person. I think it was a woman praying. And she thought, well, maybe this person's a Christian. And so they went, this person went over to this lady and said, are you a Christian? Oh, she said, oh, no. And he said, really? Oh, no, I'm not a Christian. He said, well, I thought I saw you praying. Oh, yeah, I was. But what do you mean? He says, well, I'm a witch. And when we fly over a city, I'm praying that fundamental pastors, Bible-believing pastors, will fall into sin. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the dark, and the principality, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. You know what that means? That means that Satan has his army divided up in an organized fashion, and that they are doing his command. And if you understand what I'm saying, Satan operates strategically. You know, if you're operating strategically, well, who are you going to aim at? Well, you're going to aim at dad, aren't you? You're going to aim at the dads of the family. You're going to aim at the men. So they won't be what they ought to be. Going to aim at people who God has a plan for. Going to aim at them. Try to shoot them down. Get them out of the way. I'm probably going to aim at the officers of the church. Aim at them. Boy, that would bring a lot of casualties, won't it? You know, aim at the pastor. Boy, get him out of the way. Boy, you really cause a problem, wouldn't you? Just a simple truth. There's a positive part to it and negative to it. But I just wonder, do you pray for your pastor? Now, obviously, if you're bitter against your pastor, you're not going to pray for him. And probably if you're letting the devil defeat you, you probably aren't praying for him either. But if you're just busy enjoying your life, you probably don't pray for him either, right? And so we have a pretty good potential that 90% of the people don't pray for their pastor. And obviously, I need your prayers. And the ministry needs your prayers. And it is for your good and to your benefit that you pray for your pastor. Do you pray for your pastor? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that, Lord, that you will use the word in our lives. And Lord, with I pray that you'd help us to be decisive about what your word says. Without a show of hands tonight, you can make a decision before the Lord. And I think that it would be very important for you to say, okay, I'm not going to just throw this away. We got to this text for a reason tonight. And between you and the Lord, you say, yes, I am going to pray for our pastor. I am going to pray for our pastor. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want you to do that and put you on the spot. But you say, I'm going to pray for our pastor. I realize that's my duty. Okay? All right? Praise the Lord. Okay? Very important. Okay? Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for even your working in our midst. And that, Lord, even with a few praying, there will be a difference. And we look forward to that. And may you be glorified in it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.